Hello and welcome, Breakthrough Success listeners. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast where you'll learn how to achieve the breakthroughs you've been looking for in your business and life. If you want to grow your content brand, you'll definitely want to add my latest book, Content Marketing Secrets, to your reading list. This book will teach you how to create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue. You can get your copy at Mark Guberti, that is Mark with a C. So markguberti.com/book. And now let's dive right into the show. Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast for entrepreneurs who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. Have you ever felt a lack of time prevented you from pursuing fun projects, experiences, and big goals that you've had? Well, I'm sure that a lack of time is something that we all have, but that's going to be the focus of this episode, trying to fix that problem. So today's guest is the co-founder of Leverage. His solution is to optimize, automate, and outsource everything in your life and business. He is a serial entrepreneur with a passion for creating companies that disrupt the way people live. His personal mission is to help busy entrepreneurs and executives optimize their lives in a meaningful way and help them go from idea to execution in as few steps as possible. Based on this ideology, he co-authored the book Idea to Execution, which you can find on Amazon. Today's guest for episode 101 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Nick Sonnenberg. Nick, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Nick, I really look forward to diving into this interview, but before we get into the meat of it, I'd love to get some backstory. So why did you decide to start Leverage?
It was really out of a personal pain point. I mean, for me, my journey into entrepreneurship, I used to be an algorithmic trader on Wall Street for almost 8 years. And long story short, was making good money, but didn't feel fulfilled and wanted to not have bosses and have the freedom, ultimate freedom to work where I want, with who I want, on whatever I want. So I gave up the money to, you know, try out entrepreneurship on my own. I had an app as a side project that I was working on. And, you know, about halfway through the app, I had this idea to start a virtual assistant company because I tried all of them and none of them really solved my needs. I felt like all the ones out there, you either got a dedicated assistant, which meant that that's right away a bottleneck. So if that person quits, then I'm stuck starting from scratch. And also one person doesn't have the skill set or bandwidth to do everything I needed. And then you have some lower level ones where you get a different person every time. So it solves some issues, but then it creates other issues such as like you can't do anything complicated or there's no personalization. So I started thinking, well, wouldn't it be awesome if there was a solution that kind of married the best of both worlds? So decided, well, what if, and also a problem with the lower level stuff is if it's just like booking a dinner reservation, it takes you longer to explain it than just to do it yourself for a lot of those easy ones. So I was thinking, well, what would I personally want? And that was someone that, you know, was highly trained, highly skilled, that could save me a significant amount of time, namely doing things more complicated. And it's not just limited to personal, like a big part of this is business stuff too. So I wanted not necessarily to get dinner reservations booked, but I wanted someone to write me a book or produce me a podcast or manage all my social media or do web development. So I wanted something higher end and there was nothing out there. So decided to hack something really quickly together, which is, you know, the story of my book, Idea to Execution, is laying out the story of how I built the company with free tools, no investment either outside or from myself, and built it into a seven-figure business the first year, really by utilizing time efficiently, but also leveraging, no pun intended, pre-existing tools to avoid having to raise money and custom build things from scratch.
Nick, thank you for sharing that backstory. And you were talking about a lot of things that are really important for people like social media, writing a book, that people, like some people feel like they cannot outsource any part of that. And some people are like really reluctant to the idea because they haven't really gotten into it yet. And when you get into it, it's easier. But part of getting into it and making that easier transition is getting the right employees. So how do you recommend that we find the right employees for our brands?
Well, I mean, I obviously will recommend leverage because I do feel like one thing that we solve is finding an employee is one, a time suck, but two, it's a big commitment because you might not necessarily want to commit to a year or a full-time position for someone. So the beauty with leverage, which is why I created it, is you don't have to commit to anything. You get this team of highly skilled people, all with different skill sets, and you can scale up and down as much as you like with no contract or commitment. So that's what I recommend. You know, a lot of people have tried. The other alternative to that is something like Upwork. And then Upwork is great. You have a lot of freelancers, but there's no, you have to do all the vetting and who's to tell you if person X in the Ukraine for $50 an hour is any better than person Y in Minnesota for 45. It takes a lot of time. And then if you're not happy, you're kind of stuck complaining to a freelancer because Upwork, you're not going to be able to talk to them about it. And then there's also no coordination. So that's why I suggest a company like ours where if there's an issue, we guarantee the work. You're not stuck with the freelancer arguing with them. And then since it's a company managing all these freelancers, we can coordinate. If you need a website built, it's not just development. There's design, there's copywriting, there's SEO. So we kind of solve that issue of being that in-between person that can be the glue between all these things. I also suggest it because you can find better talent if you're not constrained by a talent pool in your physical location surroundings. If you're set up to have a remote team, either fully remote, like which I think is the future of work. But even if you don't want to be fully remote and you want to keep your office, you still should be set up to hire remote talent because if you're not, you're going to just be crushed by competition in the next 5 years.
And remote talent is finding the right employees who are able to get the job done. But in order for them to get that job done, it's also being able to do things like effectively communicate with them to optimize our results. So I'm wondering if you could share with us how we can get more out of the people we hire, because they could be really talented, but if we mess up on our end, we're wasting a lot of great talent.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm not a big advocate for employees. I feel like you should have fewer employees and more contractors. But nowadays, there's such great technology tools to manage these freelancers or employees, but also to make a remote setting not feel remote. So I'm a big advocate of tools like Slack for team communication and collaboration, things like Zoom for doing video conferencing. I'm big into best practices for email and keeping inbox zero, project management tools like the one we built or Trello. So there's a few, I don't know, like 5 to 10 key tools that we operate leverage off of. And if you use them effectively, you can really maintain a good team culture in a remote setting and be very efficient.
And I do find that really interesting how you're saying the focus on not as many employees because you can get a bunch of people to, you don't need to spread out too much in a sense and get freelancers to help you out with certain tasks. But when we do figure out like which tasks we're doing and which tasks we want to outsource, like when people think of outsourcing, I feel like a lot of people think of Tim Ferriss's book, 4-Hour Work Week, but even though it's like a lot of stuff's getting delegated, there's still a lot of stuff left. So a few things left in Tim's case. But what tasks do you believe we should leave for ourselves?
So that's a great question. Anything which taps into your unique ability, and I really believe everyone has a unique ability, or something that you get pleasure out of doing, those are the things you should keep for yourself And anything that doesn't fall into one of those two buckets, you should be thinking, how can I get this off my plate? Outsourcing is just one way of getting something off your plate, but there might be an automation and you might not need a human being to do it in the first place. So for me, outsourcing really is the last step. I tried to see if there's a technical solution to the problem first, because a computer is more scalable, will never mess up, and you don't have to worry about how you say things to a computer. So as much as possible, I try to automate as much as I can, and I just outsource the bit at the end that I can't automate. But a big problem that people have are you think that things aren't outsourceable, because until recently, it's true. There haven't been services like ours. Now there's a few popping up, but there weren't services like ours where you could trust someone to write your book or to run your blog postings. Like in the past, you would be the best person. You wouldn't trust other people because you've gotten burned a bunch of times. So it doesn't even cross people's minds to get those things off their plate. So a big thing right now is the retraining and reprogramming process of getting people to think like that and think, oh, actually I can trust another service to do these things for me. But again, as much as possible, I try to not outsource. Even though I run an outsourcing company, I try to automate as much as possible.
And I agree that it's important to do the automation because that, you know, is happening in the background. But how do you look for things to be automated? Like, for instance, it's not necessarily like you could automate writing a book, but there are certainly other things that you can automate. Like, for instance, when people are not at their inboxes, they can automate a response saying, sorry, I'm not in my office from this day to this day. So what's your suggestion for finding things to automate, and what have you personally automated?
Well, even with the book, right? Writing a book is a multi-step process. It's not just, you know, you just go ahead and write, or you give it to a copywriter to write. There's still a process involved. And let's say there's 30 steps, maybe there's 10 steps where automation does make sense. So the way that I wrote Idea to Execution was I downloaded an app called Dropvox, not Dropbox, it's with a V. And that's an audio recorder that dumps an audio file into a pre-specified Dropbox folder. So every day when I had a few minutes and I was walking and it wasn't really eating into like workable time, I would just brain dump ideas for the book. And since the book was a story of how I built the company, it was really just like a daily brain dump of what happened that day, what did I learn, what was good, bad, thoughts. And I would just brain dump that few minutes every day into Dropbox. That would go to a Dropbox folder. An automation tool called Zapier would be triggered when a new audio file is sent into that, which would then send a Slack message automatically to one of the copywriters on the team, who would then listen to it, summarize it, and put the summary into an Evernote note. And then after about 6 to 9 months, that Evernote note was essentially a book. And then that was then handed over to another copywriting service that we work with, who then outlined and wrote the book. I literally spent under 25 hours on this book. So they put it together. I announced to my audience, who wants to be a first reader. I put it into a Google Doc in sharing mode, had people crowdsource the editing. Then I gave it a read. Then did a few more edits, gave it another read, and then posted it. And I mean, not bragging, but I literally spent like under 25 hours on this book, and it got fourth on Forbes this year for business books. So again, it wasn't fully automated, but there were aspects of it that definitely were automated. So when I say automation, it doesn't mean like the whole process needs to be automated. Even if you can automate one step, that's still huge.
And I could see how if you didn't have the Dropbox, and Zapier all working together, you would have to be the one sending those links into the Slack, and that seems like something so easy, but something that's easy to do is just as easy not to do. So,
and the thing is, like, then you have bottlenecks. Like, I'm really big into reducing bottlenecks in your company. Like, a human, even though that might save 10 seconds, it's still one less thing to think about. And the less things you have to think about, the more brain space you have to utilize your unique ability to be thinking about higher level types of things. So even like meeting reminders, I've automated that. So we have calls like team huddles and things like that. And I use Zapier to automatically send a message to the whole channel in Slack. I have a private Wistia account that holds all of my member only webinars. I have a webinar every Tuesday just for leverage members. And that recording goes to Wistia when that gets uploaded to Wistia, it automatically sends a message to my editor to edit the video. When she uploads it to another Wistia folder, a message gets sent automatically to all of my members telling them a video is ready. And again, none of these things, it's not like one thing that ends up saving you time. It's the sum of like thousands of these things that one saves time, but it also reduces the risk of error. And what I like to tell people is, you know, fixing an error can take 10 times longer than just doing it right the first time. So it's not just the individual saving, it's the risk reduction and all the saving that you have from having to go back and fix things that you would inevitably would have to fix if a human's doing them.
And you do bring a really great point. It's like the communication doesn't take that much time, but it's all these different things coming together that gives you those extra hours. And that just gives you more time to think about other things. And I feel like that's part of the reason why people are not able to fully reach their potential. They have all these different things running through their mind. But Nick, what else do you believe is holding most people back from reaching their full potential?
Well, I really think that no one knows how to properly use email. When you hear like inbox zero, a lot of people think it's impossible. Or they think that they're achieving inbox zero, whereas really what they are meaning is they have zero unread emails, but they still have 5,492 emails in their inbox. So if you know how to properly use email and you use it like a to-do list, which is really just like a public to-do list because anyone can add things to this to-do list. But if you know how to properly manage it, and I suggest inbox by Google for many reasons, they have snoozing and good groupings and things like that. If you can, the name of the game for me is getting as much stuff out of your head as possible. So reducing cognitive overload to free up brain space is overall what I'm always trying to do. And if you can get to inbox zero, that helps free up, you know, brain space. Just like if I can automate 1,000 different 10-second things, that's 1,000 less things I have to be thinking about in my head. So, you know, in a general sense, trying to get things out of your head and free up brain space is what I'm always just trying to do. That's to me the key to success with all this. And if you don't know where to start, just start writing down all the things you do on a daily basis. And I guarantee you after a few days, you'll start seeing some patterns of things that aren't giving you pleasure or utilizing your unique ability. And I would say that 90%+ of all those other things you can either outsource or automate.
I definitely agree that there's so much that you could be outsourcing at any given time. And like, I look through my business and I see like all these things that I'm already outsourcing, and yet I could be outsourcing so much more. So it's just something that continues to add up as you look deeper. But another thing with looking deeper is when you look deep at any type of journey, whether it's on the way to outsourcing like most of your business or just any type of journey in general, there tend to be certain challenges within that journey. And I'm wondering, Nick, if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Well, man, being an entrepreneur, there's always challenges. One challenge for us is obviously our vetting process for people. It's how do you retain clients? How do you get clients engaged? There's challenges every day. I don't have all the answers to things. I think for me, I always go back to quality. So when we face a challenge, let's say we get some clients that cancel, you know, I spend more time not so much focusing on fixing that temporary solution and getting the clients to stay, but taking a step back and looking at the bigger picture and seeing like, why did they cancel and what do we need to change so we prevent future people from canceling for that reason. So I always kind of try to look at the big picture and not try to put band-aids on temporary solutions, but get to the core of a problem and try to solve the core of the problem.
I love that approach of trying to solve the core of the problem, because that's going to result in the ability to figure out more of what's going on and address those solutions to achieve better growth. And that's definitely a really great advice that we should be taking away from this episode. And throughout this interview, I've been able to see you. This will be audio when people hear it, but I see a lot of books behind you. And I'm wondering if you could share with us three great book recommendations we can use to grow our businesses.
To grow the business, well, obviously, I suggest Idea to Execution, which it really gives some insight into how you can bootstrap a company and not be spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. I like Tim Ferriss's book a lot, 4-Hour Workweek. I think a big takeaway from that book is just getting out of this mindset that you make a bunch of money and then you retire at 65 and then you start enjoying life. So that was definitely a big inspiration in my entrepreneurial journey. Just opening your eyes to, hey, maybe I can have the best of both worlds and I can run a company from a laptop and go to Thailand and it, you know, outsource some things, automate some things, but have systems in place to do it. So I think that book created a really good awareness of that. The book's not up here because I just gave it away, but there was a book called Wait, which is talking about how sometimes slowing down is the optimal strategy. Everyone talks about going faster. And in that book, it was just addressing that sometimes if you purposely slow down and give a pause, there's a lot of advantages to that strategy. So that was just a recent book that I read. All the books that you're seeing here are books that I have not yet read, so I can't comment on those, but I'm sure that they're great.
Nick, thank you for sharing those three great book recommendations with us. Those book links and the show notes will be at markaberti.com/E101. And before we wrap this episode, I'd love to flip the tables a little bit. So, Nick, what is one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often?
I think that you need to be asking, are you set up to scale your company? And for me, scaling the company, to scale a company right now, I really feel like you need to be set up to have remote workers in any sense. So are you set up for remote work? Is your company bulletproof? If you want to go on vacation for 3 months, are you set up for that? If your number two person wants to go on vacation for a month or get sick, are you bulletproof against that? So I find, even myself included, like, it's really hard to get to that point. And a big push that I'm making right now, we have a special collaboration with a company called Process Street. You get a free account if you join Leverage. They're a process documentation tool. I think they charge something like $60 a month. You get it for free with us, but they're such a great company. They help you to document processes, and what that does, it does a couple things. One, it de-risks your company, because then if you want to go on vacation or your number two person wants to go on vacation, all the things that they do are documented. So that you can literally just hand that over and you can see, how do you run payroll? How do you hire people? How do you fire people? How do you deal with a client issue? Like, there's literally thousands of processes that you should be documenting. It also has integrations with Zapier, that automation tool I was mentioning. So you can start automating things. So by using this tool, it used to take me 30 minutes to hire someone. I got it down to under 5 minutes now. I can click a button and a contract is sent, all pre-filled with their name, their address, their rate, when they sign it, another automation is triggered, letting me know that it's been signed. Emails are sent based on clicking buttons. So apart from documenting these processes to hand over, there's automation also built in. But a big, big part of this that I'm starting to implement in at Leverage, which I really feel is important, is by documenting the processes, you can support breakthrough innovation. And what I mean by that is we're starting to force people to take on different roles once a month. And we swap roles, and people have to do other people's jobs by following these processes. And when I used to be a trader at the bank, I used to be forced to take a 2-week vacation. And that was to make sure I wasn't hiding trades. But ultimately what happened is when even if I'm the best mathematician in the world, if I'm looking at the same algorithm day in and day out, I'm not going to see the same thing as fresh eyes will see. So by forcing people to take on other people's roles, you get fresh eyes on processes. So one, it's de-risking the company because now other people have been exposed to all the different processes in the company. But two, it allows for breakthrough innovation because now fresh eyes can start suggesting ways to save 30 seconds on a process or a question. Hey, why are we doing this step? Like, doesn't it make more sense to do it this way? So it starts facilitating a de-risking environment, but also a more scalable company because you allow for breakthrough innovation. So Process Street is a core tool that we're using now at Leverage. And it's honestly what's allowing me to go on vacation next week for the whole week because all my stuff is documented.
Nick, thank you for sharing with us that question and for sharing all of your great insights throughout this episode. Breakthrough Success listeners, don't forget, you can get started with getleverage.com right now. Create your account, get your outsourcing started, and also check out Nick's book, Idea to Execution, which is on Amazon. Nick, I want to thank you again for taking the time to share all of your great insights with the Breakthrough Success listeners.
Thanks for having me.
Breakthrough Success listeners, I need your help to keep this show running. I choose not to use sponsored ads in my episodes to provide you with a better experience. However, this decision gives me little money to pay for storage in my team, which comes over to over $1,000 per month. So please consider supporting the Breakthrough Success Podcast on Patreon by heading over to patreon.com/MarkGuberti. For as little as $1 per month, you can help Breakthrough Success stay running while taking advantage of exclusive content and other perks that come with being a patron. To help support Breakthrough Success, head over to patreon.com/MarkGuberti or search for Breakthrough Success on Patreon. That way, I can maintain the Breakthrough Success podcast so it stays running and provide you with valuable episodes.